This episode is brought to you by Benton Integrative Medicine, a concierge membership-based medical practice offering direct primary care, functional medicine, hormone and sexual health, and wellness and vitality programs.
At Benton Integrative Medicine, they look beyond symptoms to uncover root cause solutions, helping patients restore balance, energy, and well-being through a comprehensive and personalized approach.
Their team believes in medical freedom, informed choice, and patient autonomy, empowering you to take charge of your health with a trusted partner by your side. Learn more at bentonintegrative.com and discover how integrative care can help you thrive, body, mind, and soul. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And we're so excited today to bring to you two people that we have wanted to connect you to for some time. If you follow us on social media, you already know who Kel Blossom is or who they are. This dynamic duo, doctor and a chiropractor who've come together to really just help their audience know more about women's health and children's health. And they've just become one of the favorite accounts that I think the three of us personally follow and that we will often reshare. And so we wanted to introduce to you Carly and Rachel from Kel Blossom, because what we want you to do by the end of this episode, not just learn from them right now, because they have so much they can share with all of us that will empower you for you and your families to live better and to live healthfully, but also just to follow them and use them as a resource. I think what Kristen and Amy and I feel like we do well is we're connectors. We want to connect you to the people who can give you more and help you more. And one thing that we have learned in the last 6 years so profoundly is that we are responsible for our own health and for the health of our children. The buck stops and starts with me, for me and for my children. And the more empowered and educated I am, the better I can work alongside our doctors, physicians, chiropractors, nurses, whomever, nutritionists, to really live well. And I think us all taking back the autonomy of our own health is so important. And for us to really take the time to get educated, not stick our heads in the sand, but to really learn about ourselves and what's good for us and what helps us live well, because let's be real, we're about as sick as we've ever been as a society, and it's time that we all change that. So Carly and Rachel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, excited to be here.
I want you guys to kind of introduce yourselves, and we'll just start with you, Carly. I think you guys met in medical school or when you were doing your postgraduate type stuff. So can you tell us more about how your friendship happened and how you became Kel Blossom?
Half of Kel Blossom. So yeah, Rachel and I met in medical school. So we met the very first day. I am more of like the reserved northerner, a little shy. I was sitting in my cobalt blue sweater, and in pops in like bubbly southern Rachel. And she's like, the whole room is empty. And I'm like kind of sitting by myself. I'm a little early. And she just sits right down next to me. She's like, hi, how are you? I'm just like, who's this girl? So from there on out, we've been very best of friends and went through the med school trenches together. So that's how we met. Let's see, we graduated 4 years later. She moved back down to Georgia. I stayed up in Chicago a little bit. And then long story short, she convinced me to come down here. And now suddenly we are neighbors. We both have acreage on the same road. So it's been a wild ride. It's been fun.
Well, we are all for those compound concepts. Just FYI, the three of us, Amy and Kristen, live within a half mile of each other. And trust me, we would all be living on a compound together if we could. But So Carly, you're the chiropractor, right? And Rachel, you got your doctorate in, what was it again? I'm sorry. It was naturopathic medicine. Is that right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So you were in the same school. You went into two different disciplines. You spent some time apart practicing separately. You get down to Atlanta, right? I think you guys are in the Atlanta area. Okay. So then do you work together now, or you still have separate practices and just do Kel Blossom together?
Yeah. So basically the story of our relationship is that I always pull Carly's teeth to do things with me because I love her so much. So when she moved down, I had my own practice and I was getting busier and busier. And we were on a waiting list. And I'm like, I need your help. Please come practice with me. So she joined and we've done a couple different things. We've helped open a birthing center in Atlanta. We've had our own practice out here kind of outside of Atlanta now that we've moved to the burbs. So there's a lot of overlap. I still do patient care on Mondays, but we actually have slowed down on my patient care because we just honestly, after 15 years and having kiddos, and our kids are very busy right now, as you guys probably know, sports and school things and stuff. We were kind of burning out and Kale Blossom was growing and we had all these we wanted to reach more women and you can't do that just practicing, right? There's not enough time in the day and there's not enough of us to go around. So we were like, how do we take this message that so many women want? We're not rocket scientists, but we know how to listen and we know how to think for ourselves and we can certainly pinpoint the problems in conventional medicine. How do we share this with more women? And it started as a website. We had no intentions of going on social media. That was not on the bingo card. It was just something that unfolded really organically. And here we are. It's kind of wild.
I just love your approach on social media. And I think that people who are listening to this, even if you don't know who Kale Blossom is by name, if we told you they're the two really cute blonde girls that sit in their car and just kind of sip on their drink or look to the side, but they give you some really amazing information to digest while they're sitting there. I mean, I think that approach is genius. And I think we saw over 2022, just like even comedians, like using humor to get a message across. Just people doing something very simple, but sharing a really important message. So my question for you is like, what was your first one? Like, what went viral? Like, what catapulted you into this on Instagram? Because you know, you have that moment where you're just sitting in the car, you're like, let's press record and tell people about this. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, thousands and thousands of likes and follows. And, you know, it's just crazy.
Our first viral video, it got like 15 million views, was actually me holding my teeny tiny twins. Uh-huh. And it was about being, because I was
not
41.
In the car.
No, it wasn't in the car. But it was like that organic, it was like one of those that you don't spend a lot of time on. It was one record, right? Put an information on. And we're overnight, I was like, what? I think more women want to hear from women having babies later, which was great. But yeah, we have so many conversations in the car when we're like going to get lunch or going, you know, to a meeting or what have you. We have these deep conversations. So one day it was like, all right, let's just sit here. We're tired. We don't want to role play. We're not actresses. We don't want to do anything phony. Like, this is what we do. We're in the car a lot as moms and doctors. And so it just happened. And, you know, I think some people, we've gotten some nasty comments like, oh, there's the two catatonic bimbos in the car again. And, you know, like,
it just kind of morphed into what we do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think
we're all tired.
No. I love it. Like, it's so smart. It's working smarter, not harder, yes. You know? But I have a really important question too, because y'all go, I want to start back, rewind to when y'all were in med school and like, you know, the trenches of med school. And was it traditional? What made you branch out natural, you know, naturopath, chiropractic care? You know, like, did you go to med school thinking you were going to be in the traditional system? Did something make you change? Or I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, we have two different stories on that.
Yeah. I mean, I knew for a long time, even in high school, that I wanted to do something in natural medicine. Traditional medicine never really made sense to me. In the back of my head, I always was asking why? It didn't, you know, looking back, I knew what I was thinking, but now it's so I knew I wanted to be a chiropractor. I only practiced about physical medicine about a year out of school, and then I transitioned fully into more integrative medicine, or what people would think of as integrative medicine. So it's just that question of why that always bothered me. Take this medication. Well, why? You're not deficient in that medication. Why? So that question was always strong in my mind from a young age. And I grew up, my mom was great. She always had a great meal on the table. She always tried to keep us healthy. So I think a lot of her was instilled in me as well. So I'm very thankful for that.
Carly's a brainiac. She's a chief investigator. She's like, no. Super. Yes, you are. So my mom also like had her own herb garden in the back. We cooked at home. I wanted to eat out, but we were like home meal makers, you know, kind of thing. And I had always planned to go to conventional medical school. I was going to be a doctor from early on.
So I got my degree in public health and I said, you know what, let me get some real world experience after the University of Georgia. I've been messing around, having fun, learned a little, but let me get some real world experience before I go to 4 more years medical school. So I went to work for a large healthcare system still here in Atlanta today, and I was in charge of corporate health. And embarrassingly so, I was in charge of giving out over 1 million flu shots for a couple of seasons. You live and you learn. It helped me get to where I am today, but I cannot even believe that I did that. And that's a whole nother, we could talk about that all day too. But we would go into these big corporations with employees in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and we would do blood glucose screenings and cholesterol screenings and blood pressure. And everybody was like abnormal. We're like, okay, get ready to go on medication. That's all we would have to, you know, this is public health. This is a large hospital system in Atlanta. This is all we were offering people. I'm like, this is what I'm going to go to spend thousands of dollars on getting a degree for several more years of my life. I said, there's got to be another way. So that was really what course corrected me. I said, I got to do something different. So became a naturopathic doctor. And I think it is, you know, we're trained as primary care physicians. We still do all of the anatomy, the physiology. We do all the basic sciences. Carly and I dissected a cadaver for a year. It was really gross, but really good learning.
Well, we became very good friends.
We became very good friends during the cadaver experience. And, you know, those last 2 years is really where like the functional medicine medical splits from conventional medicine, in that they're learning pharmacology and basically pharmacology and surgery, more emergency medicine, which we can't do. Don't come to me if you're bleeding out, right? No, I don't like blood either anyway. So I think there's a place for both. But when it comes to the preventive, the proactive, getting our health, our country healthy again, it's not in our conventional medical system. It is a disease-based system. And that's where we need to turn things around and hope to empower women and their families, because there's so much we can do at home.
Amen. And that's really the message we want to make sure everybody hears loud and clear. We all three of us would consider ourselves Maha moms, and that we really advocated loudly as we could for the fact that there's got to be reform and information and education to every American to understand what we're really up against and what's making you sick, and that the answers, as you just said, really aren't going to be found, you know, in the medicine cabinet. Although there's a time and place for all of that. We certainly, like you said, emergency medicine. If I'm having a heart attack, I'm going to go get that help, right? But when it comes to living well, we got to go back to food. We've got to go back to what the toxins around us, which we want you guys to talk about. And we want to better equip our immune systems to fight things naturally without having to inject something that comes with invariable risks. So I would love to start with the fact that you guys have been speaking pretty loudly about the information behind the Gardasil vaccine. Now, we could go into the whole childhood vaccine schedule and we could talk about every last one of those too. But the reason why I'm bringing up Gardasil is I do think that is one that people probably had the most hesitations about even pre-2021, 22. Like, there were a lot of parents who were like, I don't understand that one. And there was a lot of side effects to that. I would love for you guys to speak to our audience about why they should really think twice about that particular vaccine.
Yeah, we could certainly talk about the childhood schedule for days on end, but the HPV vaccine in general is one that certainly should cause pause to parents. You know, I saw this sign the other day. It was online and it was at a pediatrician's office. Like, if you could prevent your child from getting cancer, you would, wouldn't you? And it was a Gardasil ad. And here's the thing, it's still too new to know, because even on the CDC's website, they say that cervical cancers can take up to 30 years to form. It's not old enough yet. And even on the CDC's own website, it says that most people will clear HPV. Most people, first of all, will have HPV at some point in their lives, the majority of the population. And then most people will clear it within 2 years. So it's one of those, we're going in with these big guns that we don't even have long-term safety data on, for these little growing bodies that have these little developing endocrine systems, hormone systems, et cetera. And there's a reason why there are tons of lawsuits. There's a reason why our infertility rates are through the roof. And this isn't the end all be all, but it's certainly one factor that we can't say for sure isn't contributing. So yeah.
And the side effects have been devastating for so many young women and boys. So that's been a heartbreak to see, especially young people suffer with the side effects that we don't know all about.
Yeah. And I also want to say, the way I'm preventing cancer is by not giving something that could potentially cause cancer, because they don't even test them.
Yeah. Who's doing the studies?
CDC website. That's on the FDA website. That is on the vaccine inserts. That is on everything. That none of the vaccines are tested to see if they cause cancer. So don't tell me that by giving this, it's going to prevent cancer. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't for a little bit. Maybe it does, right? But there's just so many things that can be your choice. This is mine. Where there is risk, there must be choice.
Absolutely.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah. Across the board, 1000%. That's the only thing we're trying to convey. And so many people that are pro-vaccine get so mad at us. I'm like, we're not trying to take it away from you. If you
do
want
what you
it,
want.
You do you, boo. But for the people that don't, it should not be mandated. That is not a free country. And just like you said, so we're looking at safety studies for the individual vaccines, whatever they may be, individually, maybe 5 days, maybe 20 days, maybe 60 days. So the studies are super, super short. And we're not looking at the collective toxicity of now, you know, almost 80 vaccines. And even though they lessen the schedule, it's not really when you look at it. And then they're combining some like 6 in 1. So making parents that don't know, that are just trying to be good parents and listen to pediatricians who have been put on a pedestal. Like, we can't parent without the pediatrician, right?
Right.
Even like chickenpox. Like, yes, it's uncomfy for the kiddos. We all had it. It stinks for parents because it's a few days of misery for everyone. But even in that insert, it says this vaccine has not been tested for potential cancer or infertility. So I want to see the signs, the ones in rebuttal to, if you could prevent cancer for your kids, you would, wouldn't you? If you could prevent cancer for your kids, you would, wouldn't you? And yeah, it'd be like,
those both.
And also, I want to put a sign in every doctor's office that says, hey, if you knew how much money the pharmaceutical company was making off your child's sickness, you'd reconsider what you're doing. You'd reconsider all of it, right? Because, like, again, the propaganda is real. We saw it in 2021. The biggest propaganda campaign in human history, and in our history that I've ever seen, to get so many people across the globe to comply with an untested pharmaceutical product was wild. So if you can see that 2020 was there was some scamming going on, if you can see that, and I think a lot of our listeners do, then you should know this was not their first rodeo. You should know that there are things happening that really try to push us. I mean, I think even the entire childhood vaccine schedule, I can remember 1998 when I gave birth to my first son, that Jenny McCarthy was starting to, she had sort of started speaking out. And I tell you what, and I've said this many times, I did not follow Jenny McCarthy. I know she was like a Playboy bunny and on MTV. At that point in my life, I was into none of that, right? So I was like, but I knew who she was. And there was something about the way she spoke that I knew it was real. And I think what I resonated, mom to mom. I know when a mom says, I'm not crazy. I'm telling you what happened. And I just want you to know, because I don't want you to go through this. I think we need to have a conversation around this. She got to me. And I remember praying before every well visit, God, please, please don't let this happen to my son. And I will tell you, I delayed things. I pushed back. And finally, by the time my last son, I changed a lot of things. I wasn't doing the same things. He's also the healthiest kid. But I will just tell you that the propaganda against us moms and dads, because we have this fear that if we don't comply, then our kid will be the one that dies of the measles, for example. So let me just say, since measles is all in the headlines, I want to give you girls a chance to really address, is measles that deadly? And if your kid gets the measles, is it treatable? Will you help our audience understand that?
I think what we see with the measles is most kids that don't do well with it are initially undernourished. They have some underlying health issues to begin with. So a lot of times your healthy kids aren't going to do so poorly with the measles. And we also see that CDC even recommends vitamin A. There's simple ways that we can navigate through measles and not have to be so frightened about the potential trajectory of it. So I think the more you understand, like you were just saying, let in fear, but the more research you do, the more you understand, the more reading you do, the better off you are. You know, I think if I learned anything in 2020, you know, it's like, you have to do your own research. You have to be your own advocate. And it is scary, you know, when the important people go on TV and are literally calling you names and saying you're harming society and your neighbors. It is a tough, tough thing to get through. You lose friends and family. So
totally understand. But I think the more you educate yourself, you just have to read and read and read more and read some research, and I think you'll come to your answer that feels the most settling to you.
I think that's the one thing too, is we've learned so much from the moms in our practice almost 20 years now. Like, they are sharp. They come in, especially if there's something going on with their child and they've been to tons of other doctors. They know what's going on. And like you said, Jenny didn't have any reason. She didn't have a platform. Like, why are you going to take on this big, you know, David and the Goliath?
She was super brave.
She was. And you know,
so brave.
The media is so good at scaring us. And of course, when they talk about a child dying to measles, of course, we're like, one child is too many. This is awful. Like, wow. But it is usually a child with underlying conditions. There's some kind of immunocompromise or significant deficiencies. But here's the thing, the encephalitis, which is what, there are a few pediatricians, very, very active, very big followings on social media that love to fear monger. And they're super, super in the bed, shall I say, is that too dirty, with big pharma. So encephalitis is mentioned in the insert for the MMR as a possible side effect. So it's like, again, where's the sign for this? It's a sign that should be for this too. They go both ways. And it's one of those where vitamin A, especially in poorer countries where they don't have access to healthcare, well visits, and vaccine visits, they use vitamin A. They even used vitamin A years ago for studies in women in Africa that had HIV to prevent transmission of HIV from their baby in utero. And it worked. But we never heard about that. All you hear is how toxic vitamin A is. And yes, just
they
like-
They scare you.
They scare you. So then moms are like, oh, vitamin A is the treatment, but you guys have told me it's super toxic. So then they're boxed into just doing the vaccine. So it is, yeah.
And you know why? There's no money in it.
There's no money in making vitamin A.
$20 bottle of vitamin A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting nothing from it.
As a mom, and I know so many people understand this, when you're talking about like, you don't know what to say to the doctors and stuff, and you also, and when you're saying, to your point, of course we say, do your own research and stuff. People don't know even where to go. And I remember when I first started, you go to CDC, you go to FDA, and then you're like, okay, I just remember like I had the gut feeling, but I didn't have enough to like say something to, because everything I'd learned in nursing school, I was indoctrinated. It was like vaccines are great, but my gut didn't feel good, right? So I knew enough to separate them because I knew, hey, we introduce one food at a time just to see, make sure they're not having a reaction. Why am I going to give them five new things to their system? And then if they have a reaction, I have no idea what it's from. So like in my mind, that was my logic then. And I'm glad I did delay it. But they make you feel bad. Like, oh, well, now you got to bring them back. It takes time. It's another shot. It's going to hurt your kid. You know, all this stuff. So there's all these things that you're weighing on. But I was looking more at their immune system. But, you know, so I wanted to just point out that y'all have some great resources, especially with measles. I know y'all had like the vitamin A, like you had something to do. So I wanted to make sure everybody knows that they have some great resources that, you know, you could still do your own research. Don't take it from there. Yeah. We're not telling you what to think, but they can make it simple for you. And I also wanted to make the point that when the media is showing this one or two or maybe more deaths from measles, how many deaths have you seen from vaccine injuries on the media? Zero.
They don't talk about it.
They're not going to tell you that. They're not going to show that. There's tons. There were 1,293 deaths just within 3 months of the COVID vaccine rollout. Nobody told you that, right? So you have to just realize, once again, the propaganda isn't real. Go look at the vaccine insert. I don't know one person who has actually read the insert, because when Carly and Rachel are saying that on the insert, it's got encephalitis, when they put, you know, adverse events on there, those are required. When they put that, that means that it's a cause, that it's a potential. That is not just correlation. That means that it has been tied to that vaccine, okay? So I just want you to know how important it is when you do actually see the insert. You don't have to go to social media and go all this crazy stuff. Go straight to the FDA. Go straight to that. So now let's go to the birth control, truly, because this is a huge topic. I mean, I was one of them. I was put on at 15, not because of sex, but because I didn't have to start my period. We've talked about this before, and I think it caused a lot of issues for me later. And that felt weird to me. And I asked every single time I had my yearly appointment, I'm like, are you sure it's okay for me to be on this? And of course they assured me, but I just want to make sure everybody is fully informed, because I was not.
You bring up a good point too about researching, and whether it's birth control or vaccines or anything, giving yourself the time to do it. So we always talk about when you have a baby and you're doing the registry, and you said this so eloquently last time, you're researching a crib and a mattress and the cutest clothes. Put that stuff aside. It's more important to research, you know, vaccine, circumcision, et cetera, et cetera. It's vitamin K, whatever it is, those are the things you should be spending the 8, 9, 10 months, however long, researching. And that can go for birth control as well. If you're thinking about it, spend the time to do that instead of some of the other more fun stuff, right? I mean, it matters, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to grow out of their crib and their nursery in a number of years, but you don't grow out of adverse side effects that affect someone for a lifetime. Birth control, I really went down a bunny hole. I read the book, The Pill Problem. It's actually by a pharmacist. Fantastic book. And it caught my eye years ago when I first started practicing because it's the number one cause of B vitamin deficiency in our country. And think about how many women are on birth control. So we're starting at basic. We're not even talking about the deeper level side effects, but B vitamins are needed for everything, including hormone production and liver health and detoxification and mood disorders. So how many grumpy ladies
do we irritable, panicky?
And then these are also the women that, you know, they struggle through the side effects and deficiencies of being on birth control for years. Then they may struggle having a baby. So then they're in IVF for years, and then they're struggling in perimenopause, menopause. That's not how a woman's life should go. We've got it all backwards. And if you look at the history of birth control, when it first started, it was started by a very angry feminist. I'm all for women. I'm all in support. We will always be here to support women. We love our dudes too. We very much love our husbands, and we have sons. But she was trying to avenge the death of her mom, who had 11 children. And she thought this was a way to empower. And they tested on poor women in Puerto Rico who didn't even know that they were being guinea pigs. Women died. And then fast forward with the Rockefellers, it's just like a mess. Anything that starts dirty, I feel like, is dirty through and through. There weren't, you know, it's like, yeah, I could go on and on. The honesty, the transparency. But we have seen so many women in our practice, sadly, coming off the effects of birth control, and it really hijacks their system. And people that maybe don't have MTHFR or that detox well or that have been eating well or that grew up eating well, you know, maybe they handle it better, but it is not even a good Band-Aid for acne, period problems, heavy periods, hormone balancing. It's garbage, and it's
zero informed consent. I happened to be around a group of high schoolers last week, and I heard they're probably 16, 17, 18, comparing their birth control and talking about, oh, I haven't gained any weight. It broke my heart. And one of them said, the only thing I'm worried about is infertility later in life. So it's like they maybe had a snippet of information, but what they haven't been told, you know, it really, really breaks your heart. And it's just thrown, you know, every appointment, well, here you go. This is the answer.
Yes. It is thrown on every single appointment. And you know what's so sad is, like, anytime we post on it, there will be at least one or two that are really angry and like, how can you talk about getting rid of birth control gives the power back to women? It is the ultimate example of outsourcing our power over our hormones, our fertility, our menstrual cycle, dependent on a pharmaceutical. I don't know another better example of taking power away from women. And you know, the thing is too, you know, so that we've got this multi-million dollar birth control industry, and now we've got this multi-million dollar IVF industry. We've gotten so many women pregnant, though. I think certainly it's a woman's choice, and I'm glad that women have options for support and fertility, because it is such an issue now that we're going to continue to see with the girls that are growing up now and the next generation. But this is where integrative medicine also shines, because like Carly was talking about, we want to know the why, the root causes. So many times we can get women pregnant, we can help them by digging deeper. Somebody said the analogy like, okay, so someone's struggling to get pregnant. Getting pregnant is a really good barometer for that woman's overall health, okay? Body's smart. It doesn't want to grow another being if it doesn't have what it needs, if it's out of balance, et cetera. So why are we taking women who are obviously out of homeostasis, out of balance? It's like taking a car without any gas and trying to drive it 200 miles per hour. You're going to blow up the engine, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but that we're overdoing it once again. So we see this pattern in conventional medicine. We overdo childhood vaccines. We overdo birth control in early years. We overdo. It's like, can we just get back to the basics and simplify things?
Can I ask you then about
So I think some moms are putting their daughters on this for like heavy periods, irregular periods, painful periods. But it seems to have to do with that or the acne, which I think is wild and crazy. Can you, let's say I'm a mom coming in today saying, hey, my daughter's struggling with this. I mean, the three of us know there's so much more that should be done into getting to the root cause of that. But can you talk a little bit about what you would encourage the average mom to do if your daughter's really struggling with her cycle or that kind of thing, things to look at or think about?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing to do is just take an inventory on some of the basics. Are they eating well? I mean, honestly, what high schoolers eating well, right?
Just we try.
There's no room for balance, but sleeping, you know, exercise. Are you getting outside? Are you having a bowel movement every day? How is your gut health? So just first of all, taking an inventory of kind of those daily basics, but then moving on to, have they had some blood work done? You know, we see so many young girls now with nutrient deficiencies, yeah, thyroid imbalance. So there's a lot of boxes that usually have not been checked. Acne, dairy. There's some really great studies out there, dairy contributing to acne issues. Our gut health. Our gut health is... our skin health is the outward expression of our gut. So if you have not addressed gut health,
you have to start there.
You're missing. So there's a lot of boxes to check if you have not gone down that path yet, especially if you're considering birth control.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys are speaking to that, because I do. I like you were saying, hearing those young girls talking, and they were all on it, and they're all, and just very.
It broke my heart.
It hurts mine hearing it. And I've been around some of those situations more in the last few years with my son's girlfriends and their friends. And again, not one girl in these groups was put on it to prevent pregnancy. It was from their pediatrician. For one girl was because she was passing out during her period. And I was like, honey, did they check your iron?
Yeah.
And was on it for 7 years. 7 years. Just kept doing
it. I want to know how you can hear it and be like, and not want to just go say, so, well, how's your gut? Like, were you not just wanting to say? And I know Holly's probably like biting her tongue, because I know Holly wants to step in.
No, it's funny.
No,
I had a friend, one of my.
You have other friends?
Other
than me.
I do, actually. Chatting with her. And so she's older. I don't have too many friends, Rachel. Just kidding. At least so many friends I can talk to about that. We'll say that.
Yeah.
But she was walking around dizzy, anxious, had to nap by noon. Long story short, she's in the medical field. Nobody for 5 years, this has been going on. She has young kids, had checked her ferritin. They checked her iron. Nobody had checked her ferritin. She was at a 3. 3.
What are we doing?
Okay. So she was a nurse, and I don't know if this is true, but she said she's literally never been told in nursing school. None of her doctors have ever checked, or she's been told to have her ferritin checked. So she's had her iron checked, but we know that ferritin drops before your iron does. So imagine this mom, a child, a young girl walking around with symptoms, and it could be mood disorders, what have you. And if you would just supplement maybe with some B vitamins, some iron, magnesium, but instead they're being put on medications for these things. So it's really quite sad, because nobody's taking the time to look a little bit deeper.
Oh, and I can guarantee you the pediatrician is not saying, are you exercising? Are you getting outside? How's your stress? How's your gut? How's your sleep? I can guarantee pretty much 100%. Maybe not 100%. I'm sure there might be some.
There's usually 5-minute appointments. I mean, how are they ever digging in? Which is what we love about root cause medicine and integrative medicine. It's like, let's talk this through. What's going on in your life? What are you doing? What are your habits? Like all the things that contribute to us being unwell. And it's like, there's in Western medicine, those conversations weren't happening anymore. Rarely, depending on the doctor, but not really. So let's talk about prevention or early detection. Let's talk about mammograms and colonoscopies. I'm 51. I'm 51. I've had a colonoscopy and I've heard so much about this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So can you talk about those three things that talk about propaganda pressure, about what you would suggest how to navigate something like this and what you guys have found is maybe the safer way to approach all of this.
This is a toughie because we're the type of people that when we present a problem or complain about something, we like to have a solution. We do complain about mammograms, colonoscopies, and pap smears, and there isn't really an available solution per se. And that's because it's being blocked, because these are all huge money makers. They are big engine businesses. Mammograms alone, we always say this, they are antiquated, outdated technology, almost 100 years old. It puts 40 pounds of pressure, direct radiation on a woman's breast. When we know that radiation is a cancer causer, why are we putting a cancer causer onto women's breasts yearly if we're looking for cancer? It just doesn't, like Carly got to, you know, it's in the beginning, it just doesn't make sense. Why? But it is, there is so much money. And it's such a web of money. It's not only, it's not really just the doctors. It's not the doctors per se. It's the imaging centers. It's the insurance companies. It's the medical equipment companies. It's
cancer
like,
treatment.
Cancer treatment. It's a whole, and you know, even the studies are starting to come out and saying, wait a minute, we are over-diagnosing these women that may have a little abnormality that then we end up doing a biopsy, which can spread something that may have been dissolved or resolved on its own by the body. We're doing chemo, radiation, surgery, and then coming back, I'm like, what are the side effects from that? I mean, it's wild. There are options. We both do thermography. Dr. Jen is big with QT imaging. She's trying to take it nationwide, but you know what? She can't find radiologists because they are so beholden to the system. They won't even give her the time of day.
Dr. Jen Simmons.
Yes.
You can find her on, it's been cleared. They're doing studies on it. I mean, I even talked to a radiology friend of mine and she basically just poo-pooed her. Like she was so offended that I would even ask her about another potential imaging option. Like mammograms are the gold standard. Well, why are they the gold standard? Because they've been around the longest and they make the most money. And if we don't push back as women, then it's not going to change. And similarly with colonoscopies, you know, it's like there are a lot of problems with colonoscopies. It's very invasive. And why are we giving a bowel prep that contains ethylene oxide, or, sorry, ethylene glycol, which is a known cancer agent when we're looking for cancer? And what isn't talked about enough is we wipe out the microbiome. I mean, people are, you know, pooping to get ready for your colonoscopy. We're losing some of those native, you know, organisms that we need. And guess what those native good bacteria do? They keep inflammation at bay and they protect you from cancer. So it's like, we don't have a colonoscopy answer yet. There are things coming down the pipe. There is a better prep. And we just talked to a gastroenterologist last week who came up with something that's awesome. So even if you could do the better prep, but we do like Cologuard. We think that's a good solution. People are poo-pooing it. No pun intended. I think they're poo-pooing it because it's an at-home test that's cheaper. Yeah. And I think they're just making up these stories, like all these false positives. So if you don't have a family history, you don't have any symptoms, and you're, you know, starting out, maybe do a Cologuard. There are wonderful stool tests like the GIFX that actually looks at inflammation and digestion and your good bugs, you know, bad bacteria.
Yeah. And when you talk about prevention, trying to do these GI tests earlier in life, if you feel like there's a little something going on, that's your prevention, is looking years ahead of time, not waiting till, shoot, what's going on.
And you know what? These screenings are not preventive. They love to tout this, like, you got to do this because it's cancer prevention. Like, no, this isn't prevention. This is detection. Prevention is actually how you're sleeping, how you're eating, how you're moving, how you're keeping your stress at bay, how you're connected to your community, outside for fresh air, sunshine. Same thing for pap smears. You know, that the brush has ethylene oxide. And no one talks about that. Of course, we want it sterile. But what are we, do we really need to be going in? It sounds like I'm being neglectful, but do we really need to go into these tissues and really, like, are we smarter than the body? But even with that said, there are urine HPV tests. It's like, they're so hard to find.
And like Rachel said, we're not telling people to be neglectful.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to have a test done, have it done. If you have a family history,
do it.
But we're also out there questioning the why. Why does it have to be like this? There a better way? And like she said, women have to come together and start questioning these things. So there are better ways.
And when these docs bully these women, you're absolutely right. I mean, there should be a, if you're going to do a colonoscopy, certainly do the colonoscopy, but maybe there could be a protocol 1 to 3 months in advance where you're starting to pay attention more of what you're eating, getting enough fiber, fermented foods, taking your probiotics. And that's positioning the person to go into the colonoscopy better and more optimal health And then you do something similar on the way out. And then we're really preventing cancer. We're really looking at supporting bowel health. And we're doing it the right way, not just heavy, heavy, heavy. Yeah.
If there's one area in our practice where we've had the struggle with in terms of people having advice from docs, it's GI docs. I can't tell you how many times. How many
worthless,
times?
Worthless. Worthless.
There's some great ones out there. There's some great ones out there.
Maybe one.
How many people have come and said, well, my doctor, he said it doesn't matter what I eat. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I eat. Over and over and over and over. So that's kind of what we're up against.
100%. And I will also say, as someone, and I've shared this story before, after my youngest was born, I had a tooth issue. I know sometimes going through pregnancy, things like that can sometimes happen. Anyway, long story short, because I couldn't be seen right away, I was prescribed painkillers with Advil, like a lot throughout a weekend. Destroyed my gut. But I didn't know that's what had happened. All of a sudden, I was having things where things felt weird, felt like my throat was closing. I never had indigestion, ever. I think people think reflux, you're going to, you know, heartburn. No. Was completely silent, started having panic attacks. And in my brain, I'd always been very, kind of like strong-minded, like, what's going on with me? No, I'm not worried. What is going on? But I was having these physiological, and I was sick for over a year. Finally, you know, I was seeing a gastroenterologist where they were like, oh yeah, you've got some bacteria in your gut. We're going to give you antibiotics to eradicate that. They made me sicker. And the crazy thing is, then they said, you just may need to be on Prilosec the rest of your life. And I said, there's no way that's good. I am otherwise so healthy. I've been healthy my whole life. And you're telling me to turn off the acid in my stomach? Isn't that like my first line of defense for like my immune system? I really pushed back on my doctor. And she was at least listening to me. I will say she did listen. She didn't fight me, but good. I said, I will not do it. I will figure it out. I did. And it took me years, years of not eating things, not drinking, not doing any, like, of reading like crazy because no one would help me. And I was not well. But I'm going to tell y'all, I healed it. And I learned so much through that process, which is why I'm so passionate about what you two do. I figured it out. And I lived so much better as a result. But it was from taking Advil and painkillers that disrupted my gut that gave me massive panic attacks, like anxiety, crazy. And so many women don't know that their anxiety is rooted in their gut. So much of it is. And doctors aren't asking. And so I'm so glad you mentioned this because I will say my experience with that was the doctor later on, her daughter got very sick. She became a naturopathic gastroenterologist as a result. So I will say she was willing to learn. But I'm telling you right now that I am so with you on this, that honestly, I think there's a lot of well-meaning people out there that are just very ignorant of how it works, you know? And I'm with you on that. So thank you for addressing the whole prevention thing as well. And I know non-toxic home is something that we are very passionate about because obviously ourselves and our children are all being exposed all the time to things that could be contributing to us not being well. And like, just like with my Advil situation, have no idea that that's what's caused it. I know that's something you're passionate about. So we wanted to give you time to talk about that as well.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, when we talk about skin issues, infertility, you know, even cancer, I mean, it's one of these scenarios again, where it's just like, we're doing too much in terms of the toxins. There's so many chemicals being produced every day, year. We don't even know, right? Mm-hmm. And having our own children really kind of changed the game too and kind of further opens your eyes. And now our older kids, our teens, tweens, we have tween girls. We each have, they're the same age, a month apart, and they're getting into that whole Bath and Body Ulta craziness, which aren't they good at marketing?
I blame the Kardashians.
Oh my gosh.
When she started doing the lip gloss colors down the arm, like, oh, it's over. Ulta or
Yeah.
So that's ultimately why we launched our app, because Kim Kardashian and her sisters, what we hope comes across with our kind of passion in that low tox living world is it's not a trend. It's here to stay. There are over 80,000 chemicals on the market in consumer products, and we've only taken the time, not we, them have only taken the time to ban 9. So the calculations go that even if they wanted to start looking at each of these, we wouldn't even see these banned in our lifetime. The big thing is we can't live 100% toxin-free. It's impossible. They are around us. There's nothing we can do about it. That doesn't have to be overwhelming or stressful. We just want people to be empowered with the information. If there is a product that you love, there's probably a better option out there. You don't have to have a chemistry degree. So we came up with a low-tox scanner app so that we did the research. You can still do it too, but and provide the swaps for the people that want to dig into more low-tox living but don't have the time or feel overwhelmed, don't know where to start. So like your plastic shower curtain that smells awful, it's off-gassing. And even when that odor goes away, because it's in a hot, moist bathroom, it will off-gas for the lifetime of that plastic shower curtain. But there are better options available. You know, house cleaners, rugs, baby crib mattresses, car seats, pajamas. Like there are tons of apps for foods, but there weren't any for these household products. So that's why we created Nook.
And we make it to put more pressure. We truly want to educate people. And it's not meant to say you have to change all of this. It really is a guide and a check-in, like start with one product. We were very careful about that. We don't want more pressure to be put on women and families to do low tox than there already is, because we know it is a lot.
It is. It's a lot, a lot.
So tell our audience again how they find this app. Is it Nook? Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's called Nook. So it's on the Apple Store. Now we are working to make it available for Android, but right now it's just available on Apple. We have our Instagram account, ask.nook, so you can find us there as well.
And the name Nook comes from, we want every nook in our house to be as clean and healthy as possible.
Safe living space.
A safe, healthy living space, because we do spend so much of our time at home. You know, especially our kiddos, and it's just really, really important to us. So,
and if you have teens and tweens, totally unexpected. My daughter, her daughter's 12 also, they love it. They'll take it into Sephora. We do let them go in because we want them to learn, and they'll start scanning things. And it has been the best thing to say anything. They read the labels. So give it to your kids and let them learn too. It's been kind of fun to see.
Sure, you guys as moms know we're not always prophets in our own land, right? They don't always listen to us.
It's so true.
So they can scan in that. Yeah, if they see something, oh, maybe mom is right. But we really do try to have balance, especially with girls. And those of you that have daughters, like, we don't want them to have a complex or feel, you know, some kind of way about their mom being so rigid that they, you know, it's like, yes, and let's talk about it. Can we have a conversation about those ingredients? If there's a name you can't pronounce, you know, where did it come from? Does that mean it's a chemical? What does it mean if that's going onto your body, onto your skin? So it's really an education opportunity too. So.
And I love that you guys are creating this one, because I do think this younger generation is getting, as you said, more hip to the game. Like this, the information is now out there, and I am noticing the younger generations using the apps and the stores and everything now way more than our generation did, right? And so that's a good thing. But I think too, so I know so many families now with someone in their family who can't smell fragrances, who's just highly sensitive and allergic to things. And to me, the way I interpret that, and maybe I'm wrong, it's probably toxic to all of us, but because their immune system is a bit suppressed in this area, they're picking up on it. Right. And so I have a sister who cannot tolerate fragrances. So it made me have to rethink what fragrances are in my home. So when she came to visit, she wasn't irritated. But then I started thinking, well, gosh, I probably shouldn't have these here anyway. If they're bothering her, they might just be bothering me, but I'm not presenting with symptoms yet. You know what I'm saying? And so I love that you guys have created this.
Well, and it's funny. I think it's funny how it's kind of like with diet, like when you change your diet, when you go from eating, you know, fast food and all that, sugars and, you know, a whole bunch, and then you change your diet. When you go back to that, like if you cut out soda for years and you go back to drink a soda, you could maybe take like a sip or two and you're like, well, that's how I feel about the toxic home stuff. Like, because, you know, back in high school, I'm like cucumber melon, all plumeria, you know, I'm just slathered in it, you know? And now when I walk in there, I about die. Like 30 seconds in, I'm like, I have a headache. I got to get out of here. So I feel like, you know, it's one of those things. It's like when you get your body away from it, and even like walking down the, Kristen, you know, we've been in like hotel, and you walk in and it's like the immediate fragrance. You walk in and you're just like,
yes,
I was the worst.
This down. And, or like the laundry detergent aisle at the grocery store. It is, I probably wouldn't have thought twice about that like 10, 15 years ago. You know, it's just like, oh, I smell Tide or I smell Bounce or whatever. And now it's like an assault. It's crazy.
It is.
Not sure.
So tell us, okay, so tell our audience, obviously they can find you on kale.blossom on Instagram, which is how we discovered you too. But you do have a website as well where people can go find some more resources, right? You want to share that with the audience too?
Yeah, our website is kaleblossom.com. And we have a blog and additional information. We have guides that we create also. We have some guides on Etsy. We do a lot of homeopathy, women's health, children's health. So we try to update our articles at least weekly. So always new information there too.
We're on Pinterest.
Yeah. If you're a pinner and you want to go on and do some learning too, inspiration, we're there.
So basically you're where all moms can find you. You are not going to be
hard. We got to stick together, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I will say, I think the three of us will say that that was one of the sweetest things that came about with the pandemic was how many of us that were seeing things and trying to stand up against a lot of pressure and propaganda, as we talked about, it really brought our community together. It sort of formed this community of moms and dads and just people that, you know, we just all want to know the truth. And we're in the pursuit of that truth and we're sharing what we're learning. And we all acknowledge we don't have all the answers, but we got enough questions to know we're not going to just blindly trust anybody. And I'm just really thankful for you too, and for the content you put out and the information that you're giving so that you can, as you said at the beginning, get beyond your practice to reach as many people as possible. We do need more and more doctors, chiropractors, nurses, you know, like you, that are willing to put this information out to the masses, and especially in an age too where healthcare is so expensive that a lot of people are afraid to go do anything outside of their insurance, which is why we're big crowd health proponents, right? Where people don't want to spend the money trying to live well. They're just waiting to spend the money when they get sick. Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we've found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love Crowd Health. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded Crowd Health after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
Crowd Health is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to Crowd Health, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the Podcast Substack for more information.
But you are putting out so much of this for free to just help people live well. So thank you, girls, for doing that. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we would now get a, we're going to have our kids all going with Nook.
Thank y'all.
Go Nook. that kid. Well, thank you to both of you, Carly and Rachel. Thanks for being with us. And we are probably going to have you guys back on to go do some deeper dives into the array of subjects and all the questions that we have. But what we know is we have now introduced our network who didn't know you yet. They know you and they can go follow along and continue to learn from you. So thanks, girls. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you
for having us.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.